Good morning, and thank you for tuning in. In Philippians 4:7, Paul speaks of the peace that passes all understanding, a peace that would secure the hearts and minds of the saints at Philippi. It is this peace that allowed Paul to preach as boldly as he did. Likewise, it is this peace that caused Paul and his company to have no fear when they were in prison in Philippi. Note Acts 16:23. Again, that is Acts 16:23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So to ensure that Paul and his company would not escape, they were moved to an inward location in that prison. At this time, we don't read that Paul and his company were worried about what was going to happen to them. But rather, note Acts 16:25. Acts 16:25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. How could these men, who had just been beaten and in prison, be singing praises to God so loud that the entire prison heard them? I submit to you, they had the peace of God that passes all understanding. Unfortunately, it is at this time that many would feel compelled to renounce Christ. Likewise, many at this time would be up, not able to sleep while in prison, trying to come up with a defense so they would be liberated. Again, I submit to you that Paul and his company had the peace of God that passes all understanding. Enemies of first century Christians marveled at the Christians' willingness to be put to death, wondering what is it about this Jesus and the peace that he offers that motivated them to lay down their lives. Well, I tell you this morning, they understood something that we do well to understand something ourselves today. They understood that the peace that Jesus offered granted us peace with God. Note Romans 5:1. Again, that is Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul and his company, and first century Christians for that matter, understood that the peace that Jesus offered gave us peace with our fellow man. Ephesians 2:16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Likewise, the peace that Jesus offered granted all of us strength, granted Paul strength. And such is revealed in Philippians 4:13, where Paul would write there, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. You know, unfortunately, there are many that believe this passage or that anything in this passage is stating that we can do any of the following. Somehow we can climb mountains that we were never able to climb. Somehow we can win a sporting event. Somehow we can grow wings like an eagle and fly, and many other things that the human mind can imagine. Today we will continue our sermon series entitled Understanding the Misunderstood, and we will examine if the aforementioned belief is true. With that being said, let us all notice our first point together this morning. That is the purpose of Philippians. The purpose of Philippians. Well, why did Paul write this epistle? Well, the answer is revealed in Scripture. Paul wrote this epistle to express the great joy that he had toward this congregation. Note Philippians 1, 2 through 5. Philippians 1, 2 through 5. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul was grateful and thankful for the Philippians' willingness to hear and obey the gospel. As a matter of fact, one of the members was the jailer that had beaten Paul and imprisoned him. If you go back to Acts chapter 16, where Paul was in prison, you will see that Paul used this earthquake that opened the doors to the prison as an opportunity to teach this man the gospel along with his entire household. You see, the jailer at this point in time in Scripture was prepared to kill himself, supposing that all the prisoners had escaped. He thought to himself, well, it would be better for me to kill myself than to fall into the hands of my superiors. But Paul let that Philippian jailer know that he and his company were still there. And ultimately, in Acts 16:30, this Philippian jailer asked the most important question that any could ask. What must I do to be saved? Likewise, there was a woman by the name of Lydia, a worshiper of God, who met at a river with other women and prayed. She ultimately was taught the gospel by Paul. Her and her entire house were baptized. Again, Paul had great joy over this congregation of the Lord's church. Likewise, Paul wrote to inform the Philippians of the gospel's continuing spread. Philippians 1:12-13. Philippians 1:12-13. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. We need to understand something here this morning. Paul is writing this epistle from prison, and there were a lot of events that took place that ultimately led Paul here. Well, Paul was beaten in Jerusalem and there placed in prison. And it is also in Jerusalem where Paul speaks of his conversion, Acts chapter 22, as well as Acts chapter 23. And after this, the Jews conspire to kill him. To keep this from happening, the captain of the prison moves Paul to Caesarea. It is in Caesarea where Paul proclaims the gospel to Felix. But Felix, as he heard the gospel, he trembled there. And he told Paul that I will call for you when I have a more convenient season. 2 years go by, and the Jews still want Paul dead. Festus is looking to do the Jews a favor, and he's looking to bring Paul back into Jerusalem. It is at this time that Paul appeals to have his case brought before Caesar. Paul likewise then will have the opportunity to preach the gospel to King Agrippa, and King Agrippa would tell Paul, "You almost persuaded me to be a Christian." After surviving shipwreck, Paul enters Rome as a prisoner. And while stating his case, the gospel is preached there. Paul says the gospel even reached the house of Caesar and many others that were situated in Rome. Note Philippians 1:14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul says, because of my bonds, because of my affliction, much more faithful Christians that were situated in Rome were willing to proclaim the word of God because of what had fallen out to me. Likewise, Paul writes to encourage the Philippians to be one. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any bowels of mercy. Properly put, we need to understand Paul is saying because there is, not if, but because there is consolation in Christ, because there is comfort in Christ, because there is mercy and fellowship in Christ, he encourages the Philippians to do the following in verse 2. Be like-minded, Paul writes, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Hence, let the mind of Christ be in you, Philippians 2:5. Paul likewise wrote to warn the Philippians of false teachers. Philippians 3:2. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Paul wanted the Philippians to understand that they were those who placed their confidence, their complete assurance in Christ Jesus. There were Judaizers that did their best to make sure that the law of Moses continued. So Paul offers some background information concerning his former stance and where he now stands. Note Philippians 3:4. Again, that is Philippians 3:4. Paul would write there, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul says again, if there is anybody that comes to you with great conviction for serving the law of Moses as opposed to the law of Christ, know that there was no one more convicted than I used to be. And he offers the following. Going into verse 5. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Going into verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. Who did he count them loss for? For Christ. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Why did he count them this way? He says that I may win Christ. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is after the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You see, there's the key. It's not about our own righteousness. It's about the righteousness of God. And Paul would write in Romans chapter 1:17, it is the gospel that reveals the righteousness of God. Where Paul would write, therefore, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Finally, Paul writes to remind the Philippians of their hope. Philippians 3:20. Again, that is Philippians 3:20. For our conversation, our manner of life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, listen, we live in anticipation of seeing Jesus face to face, being transitioned into those immortal bodies, being ushered into that heavenly home to dwell with our Lord and Savior and the Father for all eternity. Now that we have noted the purpose of Philippians, let us note our second point together this morning. And that is, our God is the God of peace. Our God is the God of peace. Now we need to understand that the beginning of chapter 4 continues a thought from the latter of chapter 3. Philippians 4:1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You see, this congregation here in Philippi was Paul's best work. They were scripturally organized. They had shepherds, they had deacons, and they had ministers and a good number of members. He says, in light of the glory to be revealed in Jesus, stay faithful to the gospel. Stand fast in the gospel. Continue to be firm in the gospel. Be unmoved. Philippians 4:2, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Here the scripture reveals that there were two sisters who had some kind of quarrel, some kind of disagreement. But here Paul encourages them to lay this disagreement aside and to be unified in the Lord. That is of the greatest importance, to remain unified with the brethren. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Paul says, and again, I say rejoice. Here Paul encourages the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord even as he had rejoiced. Even though Paul presently found himself in prison, he still had joy in the Lord. We need to understand something, too. The joy that Paul had was greater than his current circumstances. This joy came as a result, Paul would write, of knowing his name, and their names were written in the book of life, Philippians 4:3. Well, why should one have great joy over their names being found in the book of life? Well, we understand if one's name is found in the book of life, they will live with the Father, they will live with the Son, and dwell with him, according to Revelation 2:3. We understand the place in which we will dwell with the Son and the Father. There will be no more tears. There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. The former things, the Bible says, are passed away. Revelation 21:4. Paul says, therefore, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice over this great news. Philippians 4:5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Properly put, Paul says, let your forbearance, let your self-control be known among all men. those individuals inside the body and those individuals outside the body. Do not allow your disagreements to become a stumbling block, hear me closely, to believers and non-believers. Why? He says the Lord is at hand. The day of the Lord is approaching. And you know what's of the greatest concern? Being prepared for that day, not our personal wins. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Paul writes, do not allow, now hear me closely, do not allow the ever-changing circumstances of this life to fill you with anxiety. Now, I know that there are some that are listening and saying, well, that's easy to say, Paul wrote it, but how do we do this? Well, listen, he tells us not to be filled with anxiety, but then he tells us what to do. Instead of being filled with anxiety, he says, listen, you ultimately cast those cares upon God. Well, why? Anxiety will stomp out, it will choke out our faith. If you would remember the parable of the soils in Luke chapter 8, note verse 14. Luke chapter 8, again, that is 14. I'll give you a moment to turn over there. Luke chapter 8 and the verse is 14. Luke 8, 14. Note the words of Jesus in Luke 8, 14. And that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit into perfection. The cares there are the anxieties of this life. Those things that stir us up or get us riled up. Again, anxiety will kill our faith. Again, Paul says, instead of allowing anxiety to win, take your request to the Lord. Lay your cares at his feet. Make your petition and thank him for your current blessings in life. 1 Peter 5, 7, it says, they're casting all your care, not some of your care, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I think of one going fishing and trying to cast a line. When we do so, we don't place the hook right next to the boat, do we? No, we don't. We wind up and we cast that fishing line far away. We get as much distance from the hook and the boat as possible. Well, this is what we are to do with our cares and anxieties of life. Cast them away from ourselves and place them at the Lord's feet, knowing that he cares for us. Philippians 4, 7 and 8. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, Paul says, think on these things. Have you ever had an individual tell you, you know, I always seem to have negative thoughts, and somehow, one way or another, I always find myself contemplating on something that's negative? Well, Paul says, listen, there are plenty of things that we can focus on. There are plenty of things that we can think on. He says, have the proper perspective in life. Instead of focusing on those things that are negative, focus on those things that are honest, pure, and just. Philippians 4, 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Again, Paul taught this congregation of believers, and he was a great example of what a dedicated follower of Christ looked like. He says to these Philippian Christians, what you've seen, what you saw demonstrated, follow. It's interesting, Paul would write similar words in 1 Corinthians 11, the verses 1, where he would tell them, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Well, again, why is Paul qualified to lead? Why would Paul say, follow me? Well, not to gather his own following, but again, because of the one he followed. He says, you can follow me because of the one I am following. I am following Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at your last care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but lacked opportunity. The brethren of Philippi had sent aid to Paul on a previous occasion, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the verses are 1 through 5. And they had sent aid now, during this present circumstance, but it had taken this aid a while to reach him, and he understood that they would have sent aid sooner if they had the opportunity. Going into verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, For I have learned in whatsoever state that I am therewith to be content. Now, we need to understand something. This is going to set the stage for our text of examination. Paul says this current verse here, it was not written in the sense of needing anything. Paul says he learned something. He had learned to be content, regardless of whatever situation he found himself in. Again, situated in prison, Paul was content. Now, we have to ask ourselves this question. Again, it didn't say he was automatically content, but rather he learned to be content. Well, if you learn something, you generally have to have a teacher. So what taught Paul, to be content? I submit to you his past experiences in life taught him to be content. He witnessed firsthand how God was with him, and Paul understood something. As long as God is with me, I'm okay. I'm perfectly fine. I tell you, this is something that God's people must learn today. We must learn to be content in whatever situation we find ourselves in. And I will give you two reasons here briefly. One, we need to understand how to be content or learn to be content, because contentment is one of the foundational pillars of happiness. If you show me an individual that can't be content, I'll show you an individual that cannot be happy. Likewise, it is contentment that helps us to deal with those anxieties that I mentioned just a moment ago. Contentment in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul says, listen, I've been conditioned to handle the difficulties of life. Again, through my past experiences. Those experiences have taught me what it meant to be humble. Those experiences have taught me how to abound. I've been full and both hungry. You know what? As a matter of fact, if you don't mind me saying it this way, Paul is saying, listen, I've been down, but I've never been out. Note 2 Corinthians 4:8. 2 Corinthians 4:8. Note what Paul writes there. 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Paul had been down before, but again, I submit to you, Paul had never been out. Now we come to the text of our examination, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now let's be careful here. In this context, what is Paul saying? In this context, what is Paul saying? There is nothing here that would suggest that Paul could do many of the things that we conjure up in our minds. But rather, Paul came to a conclusion, and here it is. Whatever I must endure for the Lord's sake, I will endure. Whatever I must endure for the Lord's sake, I will endure. Not that I have received the strength of myself, but of the one who has strengthened me. Well, who strengthened him? It was Christ Jesus that gave him strength. It was the words that Jesus spoke to Paul that gave him strength. Likewise, knowing of the great sacrifice of Jesus, being commissioned by Jesus, knowing firsthand, knowing intimately the words that he's going to write in Philippians 4:19. Where the Bible reads there, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to the riches of his glory by Christ Jesus. Paul understood that and had experienced that intimately. You see, the provisions of God were enough. The word of God was enough. I submit to you, the provisions of God need to be sufficient for us in this life. The word of God needs to be enough for us in this life. You see, it was this word of peace, that allowed Paul to spend the remainder of his life magnifying our Lord and Savior. Philippians 1:21, Paul would write there, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For me to remain here in the flesh, Paul would say, listen, is to be hid in Christ. My life is totally dedicated to spreading our Lord's gospel. And to be departed from this life is to be present with him. You know, we can enjoy the same confidence and assurance as Paul because we have the word of the Lord as well. You know, I've often submitted to some of our members here before a question. I'd first tell them to hold up their Bibles. And once I saw everybody had their Bibles up, I'd ask them a question. Now, keep it closed. And I'd ask them, tell me everything you know about God without that book. And we all kind of stand there for a few seconds and we're looking at one another. And I said, you can't tell me anything about God without that book. You can't even tell me God is love without being able to turn over to 1 John 4:8. Because we find that scripture reveals that God is love. Again, we have the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have the inspired word of God. It reveals God's scheme of redemption. It reveals Jesus as the perfect sin offering for mankind. That word, or this word, gives us everything we need. Peter would write this in 2 Peter 1:3. According as the divine power hath given unto us all things which pertain unto life and godliness. Everything we need to know about living a righteous life here. Everything we need to know about professing godliness in the sight of our Lord. Everything that we need. But while you're still there in 2 Peter, you know, there are some who always affirm, but if I could have just seen, you know, my assurance or my faith would be submitted. But note what Peter writes in 2 Peter 1:19. 2 Peter 1:19. Now, this comes, of course, before 20, where he says that no prophecy of the scripture is given by of any private interpretation. That's so Peter is saying here, you know, we didn't meet together with the other apostles and somehow decide what the word of God was going to say. But note verse 19. He says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day of dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. We have a more sure word. We can be assured by the words that we have. Again, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. After today's lesson, I pray that we all have a better understanding of Philippians 4:13. I'd like to share a quote with you this morning. And the sermon will be yours. And they're the words of Sam Cooke. He wrote, it's too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. Because I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. I want you to think on those words for a moment. Just think on those words. It's too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. Because I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. What are these lyrics saying? What are these lyrics proclaiming? Well, this is the individual that understands the hardships that come along with this world, the uncertainty that exists here, the pain, the sorrow, the sickness, the death, the temptation, and the dishonesty, who long to be delivered from such a place, but they are not sure what lies beyond this life. How many do you suppose today fall into this category? I'd say a lot. Unfortunately, there are many in the Lord's church today who feel this way. You know, I understand it's hard here in life, but I'm really not assured what exists after this life. Well, note Hebrews 9:27. Hebrews 9:27. You see, the word of God revealed something to us there. Hebrews 9:27. The Bible reads there, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You see, the word of God reveals there is an after this. You know, some people say, YOLO, live your life. You only live once. But God has shed light on something. The reality is we only die once, and we do well to die in the Lord. Likewise, in the same verse, that we all will stand in judgment. But we need to understand the good news of the gospel, the good news of Christ, is that we don't have to stand before the Lord alone. All can have Jesus as their advocate. Now, hear me closely. As long as they obey his word, as long as they obey his gospel and remain faithful to that gospel, they can have Jesus as their advocate. Jesus, attempting to comfort the hearts of his disciples in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1, spoke these words. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and bring you unto myself, that where I am, ye might be also. And then note the words of John 14:6. Jesus says there, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How do we go by Jesus? How do we take the route or the way that he has provided? Again, it is to hear and obey his gospel and to remain faithful to that gospel. You see, in Christ, no one has to live or abide in the uncertainty that exists in this present world. The way that's laid out for us in Scripture lets us know again that we must hear the unadulterated word of God. Romans chapter 10 to verse 17, where Paul would write, so faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Our faith is not about our thoughts. It is not about our feelings. It should always be based upon, thus saith the Lord. The Bible reveals in John chapter 8, the verses 24, that we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. In a conversation that he had with the Pharisees, Jesus says there, except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. I tell you, dying in our sins is one of the worst things, that can happen to us. The word also reveals that we all must come to repentance. Acts 17, 30, where Luke would write, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. You know, there are those who look in the Old Testament or skim through the Bible and try to find justification for what it is that they're doing. But one thing is made clear in Acts chapter 17, the verses 30. Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus resurrected from the grave, making eternal life possible. So now we all on this side of the New Testament, on this side of the New Covenant, are without excuse. All man must come to repentance. This is a changing of the heart that leads to a change of action. Changing our mind about being servants of sin and submitting oneself to the will of the Father. The Bible also reveals that we must confess Christ before men. Romans chapter 10, the verses 10, where the Bible reads there, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we find in Mark 16, 16, that we must join that watery grave of baptism. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And after coming out of that water, being made a new creature in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are called to live faithfully unto death. The book is Revelation 2:10. Again, I want to thank you for tuning in this morning. And at this time, we will have our song of invitation.
Tender my way. God, our Father, again, we thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you, Father, for being our God, for hearing our prayers. We thank you, God, for this time you have granted us, wherever we are, to pause, to put aside the cares of this life, and to focus on you and your goodness and the wonderful plan of redemption that you crafted with Jesus before time, that required his leaving his throne of grace in heaven, coming to this world, knowing full well what your will was for him. And Father, we are so thankful that Jesus chose to go to that cross for each and every one of us. Father, we pray that as we go about our days and weeks ahead, that we will remember that we can indeed endure all things that we face because of Jesus Christ, because of our faith. Father, whatever it is that we face in the days ahead, whether it be sickness, whether it be financial difficulty, whether it be the struggles of friends and family, Father, we know that what we endure pales in comparison to what Jesus endured for us. And Father, give us the perseverance to endure and to overcome, because we know, Father, that we who overcome will receive that crown of life and be with you forever in heaven. God, again, we pray that your will be done in all things. We pray that you would watch after those who are sick, lift up those who are grieving. Father, help those who are struggling with their faith, and help us as brothers and sisters in Christ to be the conduit of your blessings to those in need. Father, keep us safe. Keep us faithful. Help us to dedicate ourselves to the Word and to prayer and to fellowshipping with one another, even if it be by phone or other means that do not allow us to be next to one another. But Father, help us to be diligent in being Christians. Thank you for this time together. And it is through Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray these things. Amen. Thank you for the time you've shared with us today. We pray that the rest of this Lord's Day would be a blessing to you. And please, please reach out to us if we can be of any service or if you have any needs whatsoever. God bless you and keep you safe.